This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can also listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. It's, I guess, it feels so weird that it's Thursday already.
Yeah,
it really does.
This one's kind of flying by, but
it's been a good week, though.
We've at least had stuff. Joining me today, my company, In the Flesh. He, of course, writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Good to be with you in the flesh. Good to see you, George. And I'll let the people out there know I learned something about George today, which is that he plays the trombone.
You're a little late on that. We had talked, Jason and John, I was doing a show with them, and Jason, interrogated me for the first, 15 minutes.
I heard that, and it must have slipped my mind.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I love learning things about you, George.
I'm a man of mystery.
You couldn't tell, but Cobb was also playing some pretty electric air guitar during the Open, but you also were, playing with a style that makes me believe you actually know how to play the guitar.
I played Guitar Hero on the PS2. I could play on Expert at one time. I couldn't do it now, but at one time, I could play all five of those buttons.
And that's these boys? No, that's Kansas. Still one of the all-time great South Parks. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. We'll start with kind of the big stories of the week. I guess we'll discuss whether or not last night makes us feel any differently about the Grizzlies. Also, want to get Cobb's thoughts on what's happening down at the Hilton at Sandestin with SEC spring meetings. Also, glad to hear we're trying to... I feel like Charlie Baker's doing the move where he's just looking for a room that will agree with him.
He found it in the Big 12.
Yeah, so he found one in the Big 12. So there are a couple of things I want to discuss with that. Eric Hastein's going to join us like he does each and every Thursday. Coming up at the bottom part of the hour, we'll get into the list. Good news for Mike Leach's Hall of Fame candidacy. We'll discuss that and more. Jason Smith's going to join us during the second hour as well. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I guess kind of the big question. So the Timberwolves fall in pretty uninspired fashion last night. 9 first quarter points, and I believe Ant had 6 of them. And you kind of knew that game was basically over with at half. I guess to a certain degree, I was like, let's see how they come out in the second half. They bombed in a bunch of threes and maybe they cut it to like 15. You'd be somewhat interested, but I think a couple of times maybe they got it around 20, but they never, like every time it felt like they got it to where you would even remotely be interested, the Thunder would go on another run. And then for most of the fourth quarter, they're playing scrubs. So the Warriors, or beg your pardon, the Timberwolves go down in five, and basically every game with the exception of game four was pretty much a blowout loss. And so it begs this question of, do you feel any differently about the Grizzlies seeing what the Thunder did to the Timberwolves?
Makes you feel great. You're like, all right, they're doing this to everybody else. I mean, they didn't exactly do this to Denver, but I mean, they're doing this to Minnesota. They did it to you. It wouldn't have mattered, right? Even if you'd won game three, this was still always how it was going to end. Now maybe you win game three, you go into the offseason feeling a little better, you get a moral victory, you have the pride of not having been swept. But to me, this was always the best case scenario, was for Oklahoma City to just torch through everyone else in their path.
Yeah, and I mean, I've also wondered, in that Denver series, I swear to God, if they don't just blow game one, I think that series would have kind of gone like this, where Denver's able to steal game one, and even though they were coming in on short rest, they're able to steal game one because, remember, they did the dumb Degnol fouled super early on up three, but further, he fouled up three, and Jokic was off the floor because Adelman had made a big-time blunder trying to sub out Jokic to avoid him getting his sixth foul, but he didn't have a timeout. So the way that it worked out, they weren't able to foul, and Oklahoma City gets a bucket. They could have just played it straight up three with Jokic on the floor. I will still never understand that. But then Chet also misses the free throws. Lo and behold, Denver's able to steal that game. But kind of the rest of that series, like, I just felt like that Denver's hanging in that series to me said more about Jokic than did anything else. It didn't really change how I felt about the Nuggets. It didn't really change how I felt about the Thunder. All it made me realize is
how good Jokic is.
Correct. And so I think, though, the larger question, though, is should just being in that tier that's clearly below OKC, should that be enough? And I'm kind of in the category of, yeah, because yeah. I look at it. I don't think any of us thought that we would have a Knicks-Pacers Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't think any of us thought that the Pacers would be massively favored to get to the finals. Like, you don't know how a season plays out. Like, yes, the Thunder are clearly ahead of you, but the Thunder are clearly ahead of everyone else. So give yourself a puncher's chance, and who knows, maybe the Thunder go through injuries next year.
Well, that's your best hope in this new era in which the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to run the NBA, is that you get a favorable playoff draw. Oklahoma City has bad injury luck. Maybe you get matched up with somebody else in the Western Conference Finals, or maybe it's an injury-depleted Oklahoma City team. I mean, that's what you're hoping for at this point, because this Oklahoma City dynasty, I think we can, it's just beginning, right? Like, and I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a dynasty, because you look,
I think the next 2 years, so I'm willing to say this is going to be the same problem next year. The only thing I'm holding out, at least curiosity, I don't even want to say I'm holding out hope, they are going to have to pay, they're going to have to pay two other guys starting next year. Well, yeah, so they're going to have to start balancing the same decisions everyone else is.
Yeah, but I would take SGA, little Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. I mean, if that's, you know, your three that you got to rock with, then you can fill in the pieces around those guys.
Yeah, my only thing would be, I agree with you on that, but I think part of what makes them so just inevitable is, well, you're probably not going to be able to have a Lu Dort. You're not.
Probably not a Hartenstein.
You're going to have to make a decision on either Hartenstein or Caruso. I don't think you would get both. And so now we start taking it down to where, okay, a team that is really 9 to 10 deep now starts to get more like everybody else around 7 deep. The problem is they have Topic, who didn't play this year because of the injury, and they're very high on him. And then they have 48,000 other picks. And so because of the amount of depth and the amount of options that they have, you're going to be able to at least develop some of those guys. Like, they're just, they have more in the war chest. They're going to have more options.
Well, it's been a masterclass in how to build a franchise by Sam Presti. And yeah, like you mentioned some of those guys, but then you got like a Cason Wallace who scores 24 points last night. I mean, he's under contract for, you know, $5 to $8 million for the next 4 years. He's only going to improve. He's only going to get better. You know, so you do have a couple of those depth pieces on budget deals, team-friendly deals.
And again, I think in this era, I do think we're getting out of like the road goes through this team. The one thing I am open to the idea is the Thunder might actually be that team.
I mean, we're watching the guard change before our eyes. I know LeBron's coming back next year, and everybody, you know, ESPN will spend the whole offseason talking about Luka and LeBron for them to go out.
Did you see Shams? I think was it? Maybe it was before game four when they were doing their ESPN show. Expect one of the wildest offseasons ever.
What's he alluding to?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is, I mean, the obvious one, right, is the Suns have to trade Durant.
But that must be it.
But then I was thinking, like, if he's going wild, I mean, okay, let's take a look. The Knicks have to really kind of make a decision on Towns because Brunson's contract kicks in. It jumps up like $10 or $15 million next year. So they're going to have to make decisions. Julius Randle, I believe, has a player option, but it's only for 1 year. And what we've seen is guys that are his age, he player option, but has he declined it or accepted it? We don't know. But usually what we've seen is guys that are in his age, even though a player option of $30 million is, we'd all take it, they all usually decline it, and they just basically go into free agency. And so the Timberwolves are going to have to make a decision on either Randle, Naz Reid, or Alexander Walker. Then I guess what you could say is, I mean, I always leave room for, like, does LeBron
demand a trade?
But, like, it feels to me at this point he's pretty cool riding it out in L.A. And I believe is this year the All-Star Game's back in L.A.?
Ooh.
He loves to hold court in L.A.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if LeBron's on the move. So that tweet must be in reference to KD. At this point, though, you know, look, I just look at the Western Conference and its batch of stars as a group that is aging out. I mean, it's like we might as well make a senior NBA. Like we have the Champions Tour in golf, need to make a senior NBA for Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and all these guys.
I mean, isn't that the big three?
Kawhi Leonard, Russ, James Harden. None of these dudes are going to play more than 50 games.
I mean, my thing is, if he's just alluding to Durant, okay, well, I'm not that surprised. Like, that seems to me to be obvious, but I think the other problem is, I think the Suns have tried to move Durant. George, look it up. Does he have a no-trade clause? Because they tried to move him this year.
Off the top of my head, without looking it up, I don't believe so.
He seemed
it could be a modified no-trade.
He seemed to have a lot of control when they were saying, like, hey, can we...
He does not have a no-trade clause.
Okay, so I guess LeBron's maybe the only one that does.
Bradley Beal.
Yes, that hamstring them too. But if it's just moving Durant, well, that to me is kind of obvious, and so it's not seismic. But if
what about Giannis?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the question, is like, is he referring to Giannis, or is he referring to, as he heard behind the scenes, maybe the warm and fuzzies, maybe Jokic is getting frustrated in Denver. Like, it doesn't seem like that's the case, but I don't know. Like, to me, the way that he presented it, it needs to be something more than Giannis and Durant moving. Otherwise, it's like, well, duh. Like, those are kind of like obvious things. But I guess the big question then would be, it's not even necessarily them moving, it's what are the ripple effects? Because if Giannis moves, like that's, I think, where the Grizzlies have their antenna up. It's like, okay, can some of these other deals present players that would be available to them that they could maybe shake things up? But I don't know, because I kind of thought of like this. It's like, I agree, it's nice to see like someone else have to go through, like, see, this is what it's like playing them. It sucks. Like, they're awesome. But my biggest problem is when I look at the Grizzlies and I project them out, if you look at what is actually working, particularly into the playoffs, it's teams that can defend. And they're still, in my opinion, going to have the same problem next year. They're not really going to be able to defend if they return as is. Ja is a below average defender. Dez, at best, is an average defender. Jalen Wells has been good at like one-on-one defense, but
we really want to believe he's a good defender.
I don't know.
We really want to believe it.
Correct.
He's maybe just the best perimeter defender in a group of bad perimeter defenders.
I also think that Jalen getting hurt when he did also kind of made the myth of Jalen a little bit more, because like you realized, okay, well, we clearly miss him, but he still was, I think he still finished the year below average shooting from three.
The concept of Vince Williams Jr. as a defender is interesting.
Correct.
The idea.
Well, like,
I think it's a similar idea, though. I think they're both kind of long, young wing defenders.
I would say this.
Yeah.
I have more hope that Vince could be a realistic piece next year than I do Gigi. Like, you can talk me into Vince's year truly was derailed by the injury. Whereas exactly. But yeah. Like the ankle in particular, like never really got going, never really got healthy. You could talk me into if he had a full year, that's more believable. Whereas my problem with Gigi is I don't think the injury was why he struggles.
He's just a project, man. Like you just run out of patience too early.
Yeah, I don't love his attitude.
Yeah, yeah, I know you don't.
Yeah. I've not seen anything that makes me believe it's going to change either. Like I take...
Hey, we all regret things we did and said in our early 20s.
Right. With that being said, like, I was never a team killer. Like, in the end, wow. South Carolina, like, packed his bags for him.
I don't know.
Please leave.
I'll get on the horn with some of the old Pepperdine Ultimate Frisbee guys. You know, what did they
flag
have to say?
Football, okay. Please. And intramural basketball.
I didn't know you were a hooper.
Intramural. Like, the worst part, though, is the problem about Pepperdine is what people don't realize is they have, like, the guys that we knew in high school that were, like, 6'5", good basketball players, but had really no position in college. Like, they're really good high school players.
Oh, you're a post player in high school, but right.
But all those kids play volleyball in California. They play basketball and volleyball. And then those kids play intramural basketball, and it's like, I do not belong on the floor here. Like, it was like, tap out. Like, I'm good. Like, you can just rip the ball away from me. So we had a lot of those guys. Like, and then there's always the weird thing of, because you and I know you've talked about, like, when you, at Tennessee, like, when you see the football players play intramural basketball, and you're just like, oh, God, this is not fair. It's not to that level. It's still unfair, though.
You know, I will say, the Church of Christ kids, they know how to hoop. I've been playing pickup at a Church of Christ on Thursday nights, man. Like, sneaky athletic. You just don't see it coming, and then, you know.
A lot of pent-up frustration.
Uh-huh.
A lot of sheltered frustration. But, like, I guess the real thing is, like, what gives me hope is, like, I don't think they're that far away from Houston, from Minnesota, Lakers, Clippers. Like, that tier that they're in, I don't think they're that far removed. The way the season ended really, like, changed how people felt, and it was a disaster the way that it ended, but they were all separated by, like, three games.
Well, I mean, look, the future of the West is clearly Oklahoma City. Then I'm going to say Houston and San Antonio are as big a parts in the future of the West, I'd say even more so than the Lakers right now. Because,
yeah, no, I agree with that.
I mean, what are they going to do after LeBron? Like, they're going to get a lot of cap space, but what do they use that cap space on post-LeBron to pair with Luka to get Luka in the same type of position he had in Dallas, where he's a legitimate contender to reach the NBA Finals? So there's a lot of questions still for me about the Lakers. So, you know, I look at, like, OKC, San Antonio, Houston, Minnesota. The Clippers are phasing out. The Lakers are phasing out. The Warriors are phasing out. Denver seems kind of, like, stuck in purgatory with, you know, I mean, they've kind of run their course with Jamal Murray and Jokic, it feels like. Doesn't feel like their upward trajectory is there anymore. And then where does Memphis fall in that?
Well, the only thing I would hold out for Denver is if they could figure out a way to get off of Porter, that does open up a lot for them. Because, like, in the end, I think the reason why Denver's where they are, it's not necessarily Murray and Gordon. It's the fact that Porter's just not playable for the most part. And so you're stuck with that. Like, can you get off of that? My gut says no, because, like, unless you just have a team that's like, I mean, I guess if you have another tanking team, they're like, hey, we'll take the salary, we'll take our L's, but, like, that feels like it's a difficult proposition. I think, though, the question for me is, can you envision a world where what they have right now, because I think that's basically what they're going to have next year, where that is every bit as good, if not better, than this year? I guess the answer is yes, right? Like, is there really... I mean, to your point, like, what does Houston do? Because it seems like Houston wants to take a swing.
I view Houston as being almost as talented as Oklahoma City, just in terms of the collection of young players. Like,
They can't score. They were so bad on offense. Like, I agree with you. If you're watching them on defense, there's not much difference between the Thunder and the Rockets. But the difference to me is, like, man, they had, like, stretches where they would go, like, 10 minutes without scoring.
That's fair.
But there is the San Antonio question, though.
Oh, I don't think it's a question. San Antonio is going to be...
Well, it's just like, does Wimby get over blood clots?
I mean, yeah, whenever he's back, yeah. And with what they're amassing around him, I mean, my gosh.
And another number two pick.
Oh, they're going to be a problem.
So, but I don't necessarily know if that puts them in a different position than they were this year. To me, the key is you've got to figure out a way to just... They have to avoid, like, the stretches of just horrific basketball.
Talking about the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is where I wish they had done something a little bit more ingenuitive or creative from the coaching side. Because then we would have hope. Then we would have, hey, well, maybe this new coach that we're still researching is going to have all these, you know, great new ideas for how to make this franchise take the next step. But the sample size that we have with Isolo doesn't exactly inspire confidence. And then we know that some of the philosophies that they've tried to implement and that kind of failed them were his. I mean, the whole playing guys shorter minutes for 110% burst while they're out there, like, that's his whole philosophy. So if you're mad about guys who weren't playing 30 minutes a game during the regular season, sitting out long stretches of the fourth quarter, I mean, that was sort of his philosophy. And fans hated it. So, you know, that's where I'm like, I mean, I want to have hope in this guy. I want to believe that the coaching staff can implement new schemes and new ideas and reinvigorate that locker room. Because if we're just running it back, that's what it's got to be. But I don't know that that's what it is.
It's still really weird to me that they didn't have a press conference. He was never introduced. And, like, we were wondering, like, well, maybe they didn't do Edelman. Edelman even had an introductory press conference. Like, after the season ended.
Yep.
That's... still really weird.
Yeah, no, I remember. I mean, they did. They certainly did for Taylor. I was there. He cried. People cried.
I mean, I can't remember a head coach in a sport
not having a presser.
Yeah. Because, like, Christie had one. Mitch Johnson had the coinciding with Goodbye Pop. Like, it was like a collective thing, but, like, they at least did that. And I'm also not in the camp of, like, oh, this is like a spitting in the face of media. That I don't even care about. I just think it's weird.
Yeah, give the guy a chance to go up there, explain his philosophies, get people fired up. Like, whatever. I mean, it's really hard to lose the introductory press conference.
Like, hold the jersey, the picture that's in every coach's office, like the introductory holding of the jersey, like that. I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was weird. All right, anything else Grizzlies-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. All right, this was the question that I had. Because the more I've paid attention to, like, what's actually happening at SEC Media Days, the more I come to the conclusion that nothing is happening at SEC Media Days other than it seems to be an event that media is talking about.
Well, I mean, we're stirring up hate from the rest of the nation.
I mean, I will say this. I do think the SEC has kind of had activist intentions where it's like make a lot of noise, like bring a lot of issues to the forefront, like that's like activist behavior. But if you actually like take a step back, okay, I think these are the three issues, and you tell me if I'm missing one. Do we think they're going to settle on a format for the playoff?
No.
Okay, 0-1. Do we think they're going to change from an 8-game to a 9-game schedule?
They're
going to
talk about it.
Right, but do we think they're going to make a decision?
No.
Okay, 0-2. Do we think they're going to figure out anything transfer portal-wise? Date, calendar?
Highly doubt it.
0-3.
Well, they don't have the autonomy to do those things unless they break away and do their own their own league. Like, they, you know, as, apart from the NCAA, like, they can't unilaterally decide for the rest of college football. Those I mean, they can decide how many conference games they play.
Right. I'm with you on all that. But, like, to me, the bigger problem that I see is that I don't even think as a league they're on the same page. I don't think the ADs, the coach, like, I don't think they all, like, if they were to take a vote on what format they would want for the playoff, I don't think they would have the vote.
That's the problem. It's like the rest of the country looks at the SEC and is like, oh, they're plotting and conniving the way to screw over the rest of college sports, when in reality, they can't even agree on their own issues. Like, they can't get their own house in order. Yet people are afraid that they're in there plotting in these boardrooms and destined to take over the sport. And it's like, no, well, hold on. They can't even figure out how to get their own conference on the right track. And the SEC has issues. The Big Ten has won the last two national titles. The SEC had three teams left on the doorstep of the 12-team college football playoff, who they felt like should have been in. So, like, the SEC has issues to address. And they can't even get on the same page with those? Then why are we looking to Greg Sankey and getting all mad that he's trying to ruin college football when, like, honestly, I don't even think he's doing a great job within his own league. Because if he was, he'd say, we're playing nine conference games. You got to schedule tougher in the non-con, and then we'll figure out the rest of it. Because until the SEC does that, I mean, their power is not going to increase. It's not going to go in a positive direction, because they're getting passed on the field right now by the Big Ten, because the Big Ten actually plays a reasonable number of conference games.
They play nine games.
Yeah.
Now they have 18 teams, but they play nine games.
I mean, I just think that's so obvious, especially in 26, when we're going to a 16-team format, strength of schedule matters now. And the SEC has been able to survive in a world where it really didn't in the 4-team format. But now it does. It does matter. And these coaches don't realize it because they're too obsessed with their bowl game bonuses and their
just their record in general.
Exactly. And it's like, man, that is not the world we live in anymore. Go and look at these Big 12 basketball schools that schedule gangbusters in the non-con. You think Scott Drew and Kelvin Sampson care what their record is? No, they care about hanging banners. You know what I'm saying? And, like, until the SEC football coaches adopt that mindset, you know, they're just going to be going in circles here.
Yeah. I think this is also one of those moments where you realize the narrative's not necessarily reality. There's the narrative that Greg Sankey runs college athletics. And it's what you realize, like, he's powerful. There's no question. But you also recognize it's a lot like Goodell. Like, Goodell wanted the tush-push gone. He wanted the seating to be fixed. The owners are the ones that get to decide. And they said no, and lo and behold, here we are. It's where you realize, like, yes, Sankey is in a very advantageous position, but if he can't get everyone in the league on the same page, he can't do anything. It's like why I'm telling you, like, I think a lot of his, like, when he was noticeably frustrated, I think that was a public posturing. Like, I think that was, like, a threat to, everybody else, like, look at how frustrated I am. But I also think he's frustrated that they can't get on the same page as a league, because the ADs want very different things than the coaches want. The coaches are clearly talking out of both sides of their mouths of, like, well, we'd love to play the nine-game schedule. We'd love to do the Big Ten showdown, but, you know, if it's the way that it is, like, oh, we can't do that. So it's like, well, then you don't really want it. Like, you want it on terms. Like, you want conditions, but you don't actually want it. And then you have the whole presidents looming. And, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's, I think a lot of his frustration is that he'll hear from the ADs, we want this. All right, here's the proposal. The proposal is you want more opportunities for money. Well, we're going to do the Big Ten showdown, and we're going to sell it as a separate television package, which, by the way, I'm very curious to know how that works, but he seems to feel like he can do that. And then you wind up with the, okay, we still have to protect the SEC championship game, but you want to add these play-in games and sell those as more inventory. Okay. Well, we're going to have to figure out a way. How do we protect the championship game? Well, what about the champion gets a double bye into the playoff? Okay, well, now no one's really super happy with that. And then we're going to do these play-in games. They're going to fit somewhere on the bracket, and we're going to hope to God that if 3 loses to 6, that 3 still somehow gets in, and you get more inventory that way. And then we're going to add a 9th conference game, and ESPN's going to pay us more money for an additional conference game. And a lot of the ADs, I think most of the bottom half of the league. I don't think it's fair to expect that Texas's interest and Mississippi State's interest are going to be the same.
Well, I mean, look at Kentucky. They'd sure. be like, why are we going to play? Why are we going to play 9 SEC games, a Big Ten opponent, and then yes. knowing we got to play a Louisville program at the end of the year that right. is on the upswing under Jeff Brom. Same with South Carolina. We're just struggling to make a bowl game as it is a lot of years, and now we always play Clemson. Now you're saying we got to play a Big Ten team too, and an additional SEC opponent, right? Like Shane Beamer, at least verbally, outwardly, publicly, was like, "Yo, sure, we'll do that." But, like, inwardly, do you think that he's really...
I think it's a very easy thing to say.
Yeah.
But, like, you can see where this becomes an issue because I just presented something that a lot of ADs would be like, sign me up for that, because all they're hearing is more money. And we're
better
trying
games,
to pay for...
More money.
We're trying to pay for all of this. And I'm not even saying the ADs are acting insincerely. But...
Until there is a mechanism in place for the college football playoff selection process that really emphasizes... strength of schedule. If I'm a coach, I don't care about any of this. I don't care about the money. I'm getting paid. You want the easiest path possible to the most victories. And the format that the SEC has in place right now is exactly that. You can play a patsy of a non-con, 8 league games, get your bowl game check, and get out of there. But if they actually incorporated strength of schedule into the college football playoff selection process in the way it should be incorporated, then I think you'd see the coaches say, okay, well, now I see it. Now I get it. But I just don't think they see the payoff for taking some of these steps because I don't really feel like there's a mechanism in place to, like, reward me for playing this difficult of a schedule.
We had Brett McMurphy on Tuesday, and he made this point, and I thought it was spot on. The problem with the BCS wasn't the BCS rankings. The problem is they picked 2 teams.
Yes.
But, like, if you had some type of...
It might work.
Net. RPI, however you want to call it, SP Plus, whatever you want to say the formula is, like essentially, that was what made no sense to me is you can tell there's this air of griping at the committee, but in my mind, the committee just kind of executed what they were tasked to do. Like, in the end, they made the decisions that even if you, I think they made the decisions that were more defensible. Like, I don't necessarily, like, do I think that they got the right 12 teams in? By their standard, yeah, I kind of do. Like, I think they picked the right 12 teams. And it was almost like the SEC, and I'm not picking on Tennessee here, but it was like the SEC was making all of their arguments like everyone did until Tennessee, Ohio State kicked off, where everyone was like, see, look, these teams. And they're just acting like that game didn't count.
Well, okay, have you seen what the format, what the bracket would have been under the 2025 playoff format where it's, we're just straight seeding? Tennessee would have played SMU.
Right.
I mean, like.
But, and then, by the way, that's the SEC's fault. They wanted to protect the SEC championship game and do the whole bye thing.
Yeah, we got to move on from that. We got to move on from the SEC championship
game. But, like, that's the other thing. That's what this format, like the Big Ten and the SEC, the 16-team format that they're proposing, that I've told George, sounds like a soccer formation, like 4-4-3-1-2, like one. Like it's ridiculous.
It's got to be 5-11, 5 autos and 11 at large.
I don't even care if it's 16.
Oh, I prefer 12.
Like, well, I'm saying 16 at large, but I do think the key is when you're college football and the ultimate success of the playoff is going to be casuals, I think it needs to be easily digestible. And what is more easily digestible than 1 through 16? We've all seen it before. We know how it works. We know the seating. We know the matchups. Here we go.
Well, you mean you didn't appreciate on the reveal shows every week where they'd be like, so-and-so is seated third but would be
sixth
in the bracket.
Well, you gotta hang in there. You gotta hang in. They're not the champion as of now, and we have to... Oh, God. Yeah, no, I mean, like, at least I was conditioned to understand it. But, like, if I'm someone that's just casually tuning in, I'd be like, what? Like, the other thing that I was thinking about, because I'd mentioned this to George yesterday. I don't know why I'm uncomfortable with automatic qualifiers, but I know that I am.
I feel like, I mean, winning the conference has to mean something, right?
Well, it's one of those things where, in the NFL, we have automatic qualifiers. We don't call it that. We call them division winners. And everyone's kind of cool with it. Now, I acknowledge part of the difference is yes, there's the difference between a fourth-place NFL schedule and a first-place NFL schedule, but if you're within a division, you're largely playing similar teams, and everyone has a similar schedule. And the disparity between a 32-team NFL and the entire landscape of college football is very wide. But that, when someone, like, if you ask me how, like, if I have to defend why are you against automatic qualifiers, like, literally, it's sad. Like, my answer is, I just kind of am. Like, I don't have a great thing. It's almost like, well, it just feels like it's cheapening everything.
Well, okay, I don't mind automatic qualifiers. Don't necessarily think you should be rewarded with some elaborate seeding advantage just because you won your conference. And now this 2025 format at least fixes that part of it, right? You're not going to have
until we figure out what the next unintended consequence is.
Sure. I mean, personally, I would have been fine with running it back under the same format we had last year. Because here's the thing. We're making snap decisions based on tiny sample sizes, right? Like, we had 1 year of an expanded playoff. We're ripping that up for 2025. Then we're going to rip the whole thing up again, go to 16 with some undetermined format for 2026. You're not giving any of these things room to breathe.
No, and I think we're also dismissing the fact that it's this weird era of, I don't know how long it looks like this. And what I mean by that is COVID eligibility. So you had old teams and all the transfer. We have no governance in place. Is that going to be how it is forever? Okay, maybe. But it's also possible that we do figure out some way of, and I'm not even really saying house settlement, but eventually the sport breaks off and it's able to govern like a real sport. Well, then all of a sudden, like, the guardrails are going to change. Like, I'm not sure last year was indicative of what college football is going to be for the next decade. Maybe, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm open to the idea of maybe, but I'm just not convinced that that's the way that it is. Because the other aspect of last year is, how many times are we going to truly have, like, the super team anymore? Where Ohio State had way more depth, had, like, I just don't know if that's possible. Like, I think they struck, I tip my cap to Ohio State, like, they struck when they had to, but, like, I don't know if that just, if they're just going to be able to have that much of an advantage every single year.
Well, let's go 16 at large. And let the conference hierarchy sort itself out.
I would vote for that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Hastein joins the program next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
That music means we welcome Eric Hasseltine to the program. He, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer, joins us each and every Thursday on the program. Eric, when you watch the Timberwolves largely lose in a similar fashion to the Grizzlies, does that offer you any solace?
Well, I mean, I think a little bit. I do think that, you know, we're everybody just freaking out about what happened with the Grizz in round one. Are forgetting that they were missing their best perimeter defender and a very key big man for rebounding up front. And that's hard to overcome when you're missing two of your top eight. Just ask the Cleveland Cavaliers. They dug themselves a hole against the Pacers because of those injuries, also gave away a game. But, you know, look, they were not competitive in game one. They got their doors blown off. There was no question about that. I thought they were more competitive in game two, but you just saw little mistakes and little things, you know, get to a point where the Thunder are going to capitalize on those. That's what great teams do. And you saw their defensive prowess in that series. I saw it all season long. I mean, Jeffrey, you and I have had the conversation. They were the best team I saw all season. It wasn't a question. It wasn't even a question.
Ditto.
And it just wasn't even a doubt. They played both ends of the floor. And I kept hearing all these pundits going, wow, they don't have the experience. They don't have this. They don't have that. And look out for the Lakers and look out for the Warriors. I'm like, do you understand how aggressive that defense is? I mean, like, I get it. You've seen them a couple of times. Like, I just felt like watching them up close and personal and not just in a studio or on television, you get a sense. And the game that did it for me was they don't care who the opponent is. It was the game where Ja didn't play. And Cason Wallace just walked right up to Scottie Pippen and just basically grabbed the ball out of his arms and yanked it away. And I was like, what just happened? And they played with that aggression all night. And when Caruso came back, I was like, that's a problem for everybody because now you have Cason Wallace defending. Now you have Lu Dort defending. And now you're bringing in an Alex Caruso who's known for his defensive prowess. They've got perimeter defenders to match up with anybody. There's a reason when I saw Jrue Holiday go to the Celtics, I felt like that made them a big favorite. The reason I thought that the Raptors won that trade for Kawhi Leonard when they sent DeMar DeRozan was not the fact that Kawhi was so much better than DeMar DeRozan. It's that you picked up Danny Green and a Danny Green that still had gas in the tank and wasn't injured and was still one of the better perimeter defenders. And you gave up Jakob Poeltl to get him. Solid big man, good space heater. Good offensive rebounder, but to win a championship, when you think about the teams that have gone through it, they have that guy on the perimeter or multiple guys. For the Nuggets, it was Caldwell Pope and Bruce Brown. For the Celtics, it was Holiday. It was Derek White who they went and got. That was a problem. For the Raptors, it was Danny Green. It was Kawhi Leonard. You go back through these teams, and Holiday was with the Bucks, and then you go back to that Laker team, and they had perimeter defenders that were there helping, you know, LeBron and AD be LeBron and AD. And that was kind of a weird year because it was the COVID season. But even the Warriors, what people forget about that, the Splash Brothers, was that Klay Thompson in his prime was
he
a heck
guard
of a defender.
Everyone.
He could guard anybody. And when you bring that to the mix, and then you have balanced scoring and – you know, a superstar player that's willing to lead by example, that's the recipe. That's what it is. It's not load up with five guys that are all bucket getters and don't defend. It's go get guys that can defend. I mean, even Indiana, when you look at what they're doing right now, they play super fast, but Nesmith was known as a defender. You have Halliburton, who's your guy. That's your guy. but you have a TJ McConnell who will do anything to play this game and be on an NBA roster and has done that. I mean, he worked his way through being undrafted. You have those guys, and they, you know, you can call them dogs, whatever you want to do. I just call them those guys, you know, those guys that do a little bit of everything, and you're not worried whether they score or not. It's the
pros,
reason the Grizzlies
is what I call
had the, yeah, the, well, the reason you had the success you had with the core four, they all had their part, but Tony's part was integral. You needed that perimeter defender. It's why the front office kept trying to find another one, whether it was James Franklin or whatever his name was, and, you know, from San Diego State that didn't, it didn't end up being that. And, you know, he was gone in a year, whether it was Jordan, whatever, again, now I'm blanking on all these guys, Jordan Adams out of UCLA, and it didn't end up being him. They kept looking for that guy. And there are a lot of people that think that the departure of Dylan Brooks is kind of what's, you know, been a problem for the Grizzlies. I don't necessarily think that, but they didn't find the guy. The guys that needed to step up and be that guy weren't that guy. You thought Vince could do it this year, but he was injured. And then you had Jalen Wells step into that role. And for whatever reason, when Vince came back from injury, he wasn't the same guy and it wasn't the same productivity. But if you were to get that from Vince and you were to get that defensive prowess from Jalen Wells again, and you were to get some depth and you were to get a healthy Brandon Clark, I do think that this, what's happened in this Minnesota series, does kind of point to some things where the Grizzlies can get there. But the fact of the matter is, there's nobody in the West that's on their level right now. And whether they get better or not in the offseason, we'll see. But they got better last season, adding Hartenstein. And you've got SGA coming off of all the, you know, accolades of this season. Jalen Williams, you expect to only get better. Chet Holmgren, you expect to only get better. The question will be, how long can they keep that group together with that kind of depth?
All right. So, Eric, assuming that Indiana is able to close this thing out, I mean, what would
That's
be your...
That's going to cost me a lot of money, by the way, because I'm going to have to go to Indiana. I'm going to have to stay with my buddy. I'm going to have to play golf.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to find a ticket to the finals, which turns out aren't cheap. In fact, I already looked what people are unloading, their ones that they have bought. Sorry, Cobb, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, I'm kind of cringing a little bit if they do. I want them to do it because I think it's such a great story to have those two teams in there. But, obviously, a lot of people with a lot of advertising dollars are going, come on, Knicks, let's go. Let's make this a series at least.
I really don't feel bad for you, Eric. Oh, man, you might have to go to the finals. And maybe,
yeah, I know.
You maybe play some golf while you're there. And then what's that steak?
But it's expensive, Cobb. I don't have Saint a
Elmo's.
Money tree in my backyard.
Yeah, you're going to go to St. Elmo's, too, while you're in Indy?
No, my buddy owns a Tex-Mex place in Zionsville, and eating for free on that trip will be critical.
Yeah, there you go. Does that include free margaritas, or what's the setup
yes,
there?
Yes, oh yeah. But I tip the bartender, so they're not really free. I give the bartender. But hey, look, I rolled a lot of silverware when I was up there for the Cavs Pacers series, so I figure I was on the payroll for a couple of days. I'm gonna make sure I get my credits.
Yeah, you earn the margs, maybe even a double shot, for sure.
100%.
Pacers and Oklahoma City, theoretical at this point, because New York may still have something to say about this, though. Kind of doubt it. In a Pacers Thunder finals, like what chances do you give Indiana of winning an NBA finals against Oklahoma City? I mean, is it even worth putting a percentage on it, or are we just going ahead?
Eric, I believe Vegas would have it right now as the Thunder would be -750 wow. to win the series.
Yeah, I think you have to look at, because you have to beat them four times.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to discount somebody getting to the finals, but we've seen some finals like this where you're like, all right, this is just
this feels
just
very similar to me to Denver when the Heat. Listen, they deserve to be it. They got there from the play-in. They deserve to be there. But I know where my money was on.
Here's why it's tough for Indiana, and it's the things we just talked about: the perimeter defense. The Thunder are not going to be shy to play with some pace. They've got the depth. They can keep up with Indiana's substitution pattern. They have guys in their rotation that can do that. Their defensive prowess makes it really difficult. Now, I don't put it past anybody, because I saw the Indiana Pacers firsthand, and I remember after the 50-point quarter, they hung on the Grizzlies, and I was like, this ain't the same team that the Grizzlies buried inside FedEx Forum. They have figured some things out. They've gotten guys back. They're playing with a different level of energy, a different level of confidence. And as I watched them throughout those last games in the last half of February, March, and April, you could tell they were peaking at the right time. They were playing, and they had the clunkers here or there. Like, good, you know, really good teams will have. But you could see it; they were figuring out, because Halliburton was not great in the beginning of the year, and he picked it up. So I think for them to have any chance, and it's almost, I almost feel like an idiot saying it because it seems so obvious. You have to minimize your turnovers. You cannot let Hartenstein and Holmgren create second chance opportunities. You do your best to contain SGA, you know, at the mid-range game. If you got to give up a three here or there, you do, but you don't give up wide open ones. And you've got to have constant ball movement. The minute the ball sticks against that team, I mean, just look at Caruso. Is Caruso going to guard Miles Turner? They may try it. And that would be interesting to me, but he'll sure as heck give it a go at Siakam or Nesmith or, you know, these guys, or Mathurin, and make it difficult for those guys. So it would take Indiana getting a pretty, you know, all-star-like performance from either Nesmith or Mathurin to go along with, you know, superstar-like performance from Tyrese Halliburton to make it a series. But look, you know, they're the finals. You're there for a reason. You're playing your best basketball. So a heavily favored Oklahoma City team would not shock me. I think if they play the Knicks, that Jeffrey, that line's going to be pretty similar.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be about the same, really, honestly.
Yeah, I don't see how it's not, because again, you're talking about depth and wearing teams down, and look, just the way they went in and dismantled Minnesota last night was, and you know, we're all pulling for Mike Conley, and you're watching, and Anthony Edwards is quote unquote the next guy. Well, they pretty much did the job on him. They took Julius Randle out of the mix, and you're looking for other guys to step up, and it just didn't happen. And it's not coincidence. It's happening every series. The Grizzlies needed somebody to step up. Ja played, I thought at times, really, really well. Jaren struggled. He struggled against Caruso. Desmond Bane struggled to find his groove. They are that good defensively. They just play with an aggressive nature and a passion that, you know, quite honestly, it's what you try to teach kids. Like when they're playing youth sports, whether they're high level or right, like, hey, when you go out and, you know, step foot on the court, you better, you know, better be ready to go, and you leave it everything out there. And I can only imagine what their practices are like, because if they're playing like this in a game, their practice is probably five times as intense, and they're looking at the game like, hey, this is easy. We're just going to run, and if you beat us by the way we double team, you beat us. But only 14 teams did it during the year, and we don't think you're going to be at the 15th.
Did it surprise you, you know, the whole copycat league? Really what I think about is, all right, teams look for things that other teams did that maybe had some success. I really felt like when the Grizzlies kind of made that transition into really game three and really kind of the second half of game two, game three, and then game four was just kind of what it was. But instead of getting best shot, whatever, kind of getting first shot and not letting the Thunder get their defense set, for all the reasons that I totally agree with you. Like when you let them get their defense set, that is a scary defense. And part of the whole turnovers is those guys are long, they're athletic, they're quick, all this. I was kind of surprised no one's really tried that approach other than the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because we always talk about making that extra pass for a good shot to a great shot. No, not against that team.
No,
you take the first
bad
good
news
shot,
bears.
You see, like, you catch, you see it, you go. And because if you watch them recover, you watch a Jalen Williams, you watch a, you know, and even Shea is a solid defender, but you watch a Holmgren recover, you watch a Hartenstein, a Wallace, a Dort, a Caruso.
Well, think about that block, Chet. Think about that block Chet mm-hmm. had in game four where he was completely beaten, and you're like, oh, man, mm-hmm. that's a dunk. And no, he just recovered like in two steps.
Yep, they recover. They don't give up on plays. They will, and I think that's the thing they know. They have enough depth where if they try to contest a play and they take a foul, but it's the, you know, they're contesting something, they're letting you know, like, hey, you're not getting anything easy tonight. So, yeah, you're right. In that game, in game three, I thought the Grizzlies moved the ball. They ran quick. They got into their transition sets quickly. They moved the ball ahead. And when they caught, they were open. They let it rip. You got to let it rip against this team. And if you let it rip and you have a bad shooting night and you get your doors blown, it's just one game. It's a hard mentality to have because the eyes of the world are on you. Even in round one of the playoffs, I mean, think about game one for the Grizzlies. I honestly, I remember watching that game going like, they're getting waxed But in the early part of that, when they were before, it was like just out of control. And then they were like, you could see the frustration. They got shots and they got good shots.
They just
and they
missed
got
them.
Good looks.
Same
they
in game
just
two.
Didn't make them, and they did not make them. And they didn't make them in game two when they had critical open shots that were like momentum changing shots. They didn't make them. And it sometimes it's a make or miss league, as simple as that. But then the frustration settles in, and then they're the team that you want everybody to be. They're up 10, they want to be up 20. They're up 20, they want to be up 30. And if they've got you on the ropes and they see you teetering, they're not going to go, no, come on off those ropes. Let's get you right, and then we'll come back at you. They're like, no, I'm going to throw the hardest right-hand hook I can right now at you. And if you don't block it, it's night time. And that's kind of the way I equate it to like a boxer or somebody. Somebody's got somebody on the ropes, and then he's, instead of just continuing to pour it on, they're like, all right, like let me see if you're going to come with a hidden haymaker, and they kind of ease up and they don't want to overextend. No, man, finish them. Like Mortal Kombat said, finish him. They are the ultimate Mortal Kombat team. They are trying to finish you at every given opportunity to put you away. So now in this interview, we talked about Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. Tex-Mex, golfing.
Boxing, well, I was going to say, are you going to game five?
Game five for the Pacers?
Yeah.
Or game five for the... No, I would be going to game three. No,
three.
I'm sitting in Tortuga Tavern right now in Disney World.
Oh, well, I'll let you get right back to it, my man.
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's a quiet day here. It was a big week last week for the old Memorial Day, so it's a little quiet. And down here with some friends and enjoying myself and just a little time away. I'll be back home Friday.
It's going to rain again, by the way.
Yeah, I heard. Mm-hmm. I heard you guys are doing it. I appreciate you guys keeping it away from the Central Florida region.
Yeah,
please do that for another 24 hours. Thank you.
I'll do whatever I can.
I need to know who's in the Rebels regional.
They have Georgia Tech, they have Murray State, and they have Western Kentucky.
So ironically enough, my son's got a tournament down there, and the first like weekend ever. They're playing Friday night, so unfortunately I'm going to miss Friday game. So I'm thinking about going down Saturday, so I got to see about heading down there and checking out some college baseball before his game's on Sunday. I'm excited for that.
It's a good atmosphere for regionals. I've covered like three of them.
I enjoy college baseball down there as well. What's the stadium? Why am I blanking on the name?
Swayze Field,
yes.
OU Stadium.
Since my son went to like three baseball camps there. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. It's a great...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.